And now a look at local and statewide news. A medical employees union in Kodiak has been working without a signed contract for nearly a year. Negotiations over earned sick leave and vacation time came to a stalemate in October, but talks are set to resume this week. Union members unanimously authorized a strike over the weekend, but they're hoping they won't have to use it. On a cold, sunny Saturday, more than 75 healthcare workers and community members stood outside the Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center. They held signs protesting proposed changes to the workers' paid time off.
Our basic hope for the negotiation is that we can just maintain our current benefit. It's called going back to book.
That's Genevieve Cook, a physical therapist and Alaska Medical Employees Association organizer. Taking a break from pouring hot chocolate for demonstrators, she explained that the proposed changes would mean about 10 working days or 2 weeks less paid leave. Providence St. Joseph Health, the corporation that manages Kodiak's medical center, operates 51 hospitals across the country, several of which are going through similar labor disputes. The new benefit plan has been implemented in many of those facilities, including in Anchorage.
So I reached out to people in Anchorage to say, you're on the new plan, how's it going? And they said, you know, employees are coming to work sick, they don't want to use their vacation days, they feel like they have fewer vacation days in general. So I haven't reached out to anybody that's been happy about it.
As a trade-off for reduced leave, hospital administration has proposed giving employees disability payments for short-term absences. But Cook says it's a cumbersome process that doesn't work well in practice.
In addition, the short-term disability plan wouldn't kick in until after you're sick for 7 days. So that's a real rare circumstance as opposed to...
Union members up and down the sidewalk outside the medical center voiced concerns about benefit cuts, from reduced morale and diminishing quality of care to the difficulty of traveling off and on the island with reduced vacation time.
You know, they're overworked, so the effects that they'll have is just coming to work sick and affecting their patients, and I think the morale will just go down.
Our time is very valuable here in Kodiak. It takes a long time to get off the island and to get back on, and the weather is just so unpredictable. The employees, the caregivers, really feel very strongly about keeping our benefits the same, not losing those hours.
It's already hard to recruit people to come here. It's already hard to retain people, and so when you just keep cutting, it makes it that much harder to get people to come and stay.
Hospital CEO Gina Bishop released a statement saying administrators respect the rights of union employees to demonstrate and, quote, our preference has always been to reach a mutually acceptable agreement constructively and in good faith, end quote. Bishop wrote that they remain committed to ensuring an exceptional workplace experience for their caregivers. Bishop was not available for further comment by broadcast time. Since the Kodiak Union's contracts with Providence expired last February, union employees have been working off of a series of temporary contract agreements. The last one expired in October after negotiations came to a standstill. Since then, caregivers say they've been working under the same contract terms, only without a signed contract. AMEA employees voted unanimously on Saturday to authorize a strike, but organizers like Allison Horn say they continue to hope for success at the negotiating table.
I would love to see Providence come to the table with a little bit more like a willingness to negotiate with us. I just feel like every single time we've been at the table, it's the same thing. And we've tried many creative ways to say like, okay, we would take that if we could come up with a way to kind of make up for this loss. But there's nothing that has worked thus far. So
the union is slated to reopen contract negotiations with Providence this week, after which they will decide how to proceed. If they do choose to strike, they'll need to give the hospital a 10-day notice. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Kavitha George. The governor's chief of staff, Ben Stevens, says the executive is asking the legislature for extra money to continue to work on the Alaska Marine Highway System ferries, which are currently out of service for upgrades and repairs.
The number one priority of this administration right now for the Marine Highway System is to get boats operable, because they're not.
Stevens made his remarks at a Tuesday morning gathering of civic and business leaders at Southeast Conference in Juneau. All but the fleet's smallest ship, the shuttle ferry Lituya, that runs between Ketchikan and Metlakatla, is either down for repairs or laid up to save money. Stevens says the $12.5 million request would be for steel work on the ferry Leconte and for upgrades to the Alaska-class ferries Taslina and Hubbard. The state wants side doors allowing them to load and unload more efficiently. That would leave about $4 million for operations. Stevens didn't mention the LeConte's ship Aurora, which also needs steelwork, but he did say the Transportation Department is moving forward with its plan to build a seasonal terminal at Cascade Point that would shorten sailing times between Haines and Juneau's road system. He didn't say how much that project would cost. Stephen says the governor is in the midst of putting together a working group to steer the future of the state's ferries, but he predicted that it'll be a slow process to get the ferries back up and running.
This year is going to be, it's going to be problematic trying to find a solution to get those boats operable for the upcoming season. And we understand that the difficulty that it's created in Southeast. I don't want to let anybody think that we don't, because we do.
Passage of the supplemental budget is likely as legislative leadership has indicated broad support for state ferries. Last month, the House and Senate tried and failed to muster enough votes to override the governor's veto of $5 million in extra ferry funding. Four missing children in Nunam Iqua have been found but are fighting severe hypothermia. That's according to an Alaska State Trooper report. The report says the children were found approximately 18 miles south of Nunam Iqua at around 4:25 Monday afternoon by ground searchers. Troopers say the U.S. Coast Guard arrived at the location by helicopter and transported the four children to Bethel. They were admitted into the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Center to receive treatment for hypothermia. Alaska State Troopers identified the missing children as Christopher Johnson, age 14, Frank Johnson, age 8, Ethan Camille, age 7, and 2-year-old Trey Camille. The four children left Nunam Iqua on a snow machine ride to the dump around 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. When they failed to return by evening, the search began. Tribal Council President Edward Adams Sr. says the dump is 500 feet from town, but right when the children left, a ground storm hit, which likely made it difficult for them to see where they were going.
Somehow, didn't know which we should have come back to the town.
Searchers also had to contend with stormy conditions. The National Weather Service issued a winter storm warning for the lower Yukon River Delta that lasted throughout most of the search. The warning took effect on Monday morning and remained in place until 6 a.m. on Tuesday. The troopers led the effort. Communications Director Megan Peters says 15 teams from neighboring villages looked for the missing children on the ground. Peters said the U.S. Coast Guard took the search to the sky Sunday evening. That included a C-130 airplane crew from Kodiak and an MH-60 helicopter from Cold Bay. Despite winds gusting as high as 40 miles per hour, searchers were able to find the missing children and bring them in from the cold. A former Togiak resident, who the city banished in 2017, is now suing the city for emotional distress. KDLG's Tyler Thompson reports.
Former Togiak resident Robert Ortwick is suing the city and former Mayor Teodoro Pak over his imprisonment in 2017. Togiak is a dry city, meaning alcohol isn't allowed, but Ortwick was arrested for hiding nearly two dozen bottles of liquor and a stolen shotgun in a tote full of dog food. The city's tribal court then banished him from Togiak. In a complaint filed by his attorney, Ortwick alleges that he was held in a cell at the Togiak jail for 6 days and was not given insulin, which he required for a medical condition. He also alleges that he didn't have enough food and was denied basic hygiene and communication. The complaint says an officer and four other people handcuffed him and duct-taped his legs together before transporting him to the airport. Ortwick is suing on 5 counts of false imprisonment, negligent and intentional infliction of emotional distress, battery, and violating the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. Ortwick's opening brief will be filed in Anchorage next month, and the city's response will come a month after that. KDLG reached out to the city of Togiak, which declined to comment. In Dillingham, I'm Tyler Thompson.
Police in Anchorage say there have been 2 recent incidents with weapons in local schools. On Monday, according to the Anchorage Police Department, staff at the Benny Benson High School learned that 2 students planned to, quote, be involved in a fight. After a search, 2 handguns and ammunition were found in one of the students' vehicles, which was parked on campus. Both of the students were arrested and charges have been forwarded to the Division of Juvenile Justice. In a separate incident last Thursday afternoon at Government Hill Elementary, school resource officers heard, quote, multiple student reports of a gun on school grounds, according to the AP. Upon investigating, they confiscated a replica of a gun that was not capable of firing. Charges against that student were sent to the DJJ. Senator Lisa Murkowski has announced she won't vote to remove President Trump from office, but she says Trump brought dishonor to the presidency.
The president's behavior was shameful and wrong. His personal interests do not take precedence over those of this great nation.
In a blistering speech on the Senate floor on Monday night, Murkowski cast blame on the House for an impeachment process she said was rushed. She also blamed Senate colleagues for utter partisanship and making up their minds before the trial had even started. Murkowski says the structure of the Senate trial should have ensured a fair outcome.
But the foundation upon which it rested was rotted.
In the hallway afterward, Murkowski told reporters that a big factor in her decision to vote against hearing from new witnesses was a question from Senator Elizabeth Warren. Warren submitted a question in the Senate proceedings that challenged the legitimacy of the Chief Justice for participating in a trial without witnesses. Murkowski says Democrats were on a destructive path.
For gosh sakes, we want to make sure that there's at least one branch of government that hasn't been dragged into the political mud. And that's where they were going.
As for President Trump, Murkowski says he may have had some legitimate moves in pressuring the leader of Ukraine to investigate the Bidens.
He suggested that it would be a favor for us. How that translates, I think he believed that it could be helpful for the country, but it also could be interpreted that it is a benefit to him.
Murkowski says Trump did not always act with, quote, the respect and dignity that the office demands, end quote. Trump will almost certainly be acquitted when the final vote occurs on Wednesday. Some lawmakers have suggested censuring the president. Murkowski says she needs to study the idea, but she says a censure will be meaningless unless it's bipartisan.
The local news is supported in part by Ardinger's Fine Furnishings, home of the Tempur-Pedic Ergo Collection and the Tempur-Pedic Breeze, made especially for those who sleep hot. The Breeze cushions and supports you while channeling excess heat away from the mattress. Tempur-Pedic's Ergo Base allows you to move the bed into multiple ergonomic positions for sleeping or relaxing. 486-5554.
And by Arctic Physical Therapy Services, Incorporated. Professional rehabilitation for all your physical therapy needs. We repair the world's most complex machine. 813 Mill Bay Road, 486-4499.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Halibut boats are needed to fish for science. More after this.
The Alaska Marine Safety Education Association is offering drill conductor training in Kodiak on February 28th and 29th. Sign on at amsi.org.
10 to 14 halibut longliners are needed to help with the annual summer stock surveys from Oregon to the far reaches of the Bering Sea. The International Pacific Halibut Commission charters the vessels each year to take scientists fishing. Steve Keith is IPHC Assistant Director.
The whole coast is broken up into charter regions, and vessels can bid on any number of those regions that they'd like to fish for us. We award a contract for a given region to a given vessel, and it all has to take place between late May and the end of August. And we supply the bait and the ice. They supply the vessel and the crew.
Up to 30 halibut biologists also go aboard to help assess the health and abundance of the halibut stock.
They're doing the sampling of the fish and the counting and all the record keeping for our purposes, so they go out on 5 to 7 day trips typically.
Keith says many boats and biologists sign on year after year.
Over the years, they'll go to a whole bunch of different places. Sometimes they'll be in Canada, sometimes they'll be in Southeast, sometimes they'll be out in the Aleutians, so they'll see a lot of the North Pacific.
It's just like going out on a regular fishing trip, Keith says, although everything is done according to strict protocols.
So we fish the survey the same way year after year, so we have a standard technique and a standard protocols for how to do it, and that way the data that we gather are comparable from year to year.
The coast-wide stock assessment determines how much fish can be taken each year by all users.
Our survey is one of the most extensive in the world, actually, and we have a time series now that goes back more than 20 years. And it's the primary index of abundance that we use as we're doing our stock assessment each year.
Keith says they really value the partnership with the fishing industry.
From the fishing community, this is a contribution to the science directly and to the management of the resource.
The deadline to bid on a charter is February 15th. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Welcome to this noon edition of the Island Messenger. It's 34 degrees, foggy and misty in Kodiak today. This afternoon, expect some rain mainly after 1 p.m., highs near 40 degrees, and south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour with an 80% chance of precipitation. Tonight, more rain, possibly mixing with snow after 1 a.m., then gradually ending. Lows around 32 degrees and southeast winds 5 to 15 miles per hour becoming west after midnight, an 80% chance of precipitation with little to no snow accumulation expected. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 40 degrees, south winds 5 to 15 miles per hour, gusts as high as 35. On Wednesday night, cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low around 29 degrees, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusts as high as 35. In Homer today, it's 29 degrees and overcast. This afternoon, rain and snow likely, mainly after 3 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 40 degrees and calm winds with 60% chance of precipitation, also little to no snow accumulation expected. In Anchorage, it's 27 degrees with some light snow, fog, and mist. This afternoon, a 20% chance of snow before 3 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 29 degrees, and calm winds becoming north around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, a 50% chance of snow mainly after midnight, cloudy with a low around 22, and north winds around 5 miles per hour. Wednesday, snow is likely in Anchorage. Looking at the marine forecast for today, from Robert Island to Sikkanaak, a small craft advisory through Wednesday. Today, south winds of 15 knots becoming southeast 25 knots in the afternoon with seas at 16 feet and rain. Tonight, southwest winds of 30 knots with seas at 15 feet. Chiniak Bay today, variable winds of less than 10 knots becoming southeast 10 knots in the afternoon with seas at 3 feet and rain. And tonight, northeast winds of 15 knots becoming southwest 10 knots after midnight, seas at 4 feet subsiding to 2 feet after midnight with rain. Marmot Bay today, variable winds of less than 10 knots becoming east 10 knots in the afternoon with seas at 3 feet and rain. And tonight, east winds of 15 knots becoming west 10 knots after midnight with seas at 4 feet, subsiding to 2 feet after midnight with rain. Shelikov Strait, has a small craft advisory on Wednesday. Today, variable winds of 10 knots becoming east 20 knots in the afternoon with seas at 3 feet, building to 5 feet in the afternoon with rain. And tonight, northeast winds of 20 knots becoming southwest 15 knots after midnight, seas at 6 feet, subsiding to 3 feet after midnight with rain. West of the Barren Islands, including Kamischak Bay, a small craft advisory tonight. East winds of 15 knots with seas at 3 feet. And tonight, northeast winds of 25 knots with seas at 8 feet, snow and rain. Barren Islands East, a small craft advisory through Wednesday. Today, southwest winds of 15 knots with seas at 16 feet, subsiding to 12 feet in the afternoon. And tonight, east winds of 20 knots becoming west 25 knots after midnight, seas at 12 feet with rain. Today is February 4th. Sunrise this morning was at 9:06 a.m. and sunset tonight will be at 5:42 p.m. That's 8 hours and 35 minutes of daylight, which is 4 minutes and 31 seconds more than we got yesterday. The record high on this day was 51 degrees in 1985. The record low was 0 in 1999. Looking at our tides for today, low tide for Kodiak will be going out at 4:43 p.m., 1.23 feet. High tide will be in at 11:26 p.m., 5.52 feet. Over on the west side, low tide's at 5:04 p.m., 3.17 feet, and high tide will be in at 11:45 p.m., 13.37 feet. Quick look at our community announcements. The Parks and Rec Advisory Board is holding a meeting on Thursday, February 6th. That meeting begins at 12 p.m. at the Baranoff Park Meeting Room at 1222 Chichinoff Street. The meeting is open to the public, and for more info, call Parks and Rec at 486-8670. There's also going to be a Borough Assembly regular meeting this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. in Borough Assembly Chambers. On the agenda, among other things, a Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month presentation, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report Audit presentation. There will be an ordinance amending a separate ordinance for the fiscal year 2020 budget, some unfinished business, new business, including resolutions for safeguarding Alaska's oil spill prevention and response standards, also amending some borough code, and a letter of support for Prince William Sound Region's Advisory Council. All that and more. KMXT will broadcast the meeting live at 6:30 p.m., and it's open to the public. Kodiak Island Big Year Challenge is a chance for Kodiak birders of all skill levels to celebrate a year of birding. Participants must find as many bird species as possible here in Kodiak Island's eBird region during 2020. To help everyone with the challenge, Kodiak Audubon is offering bird walks and workshops throughout the year, plus monthly prizes. To be eligible for a grand prize, you must reach one of two levels, 50 birds for newbies or 100 birds for experienced birders. Participants are required to log their checklists into eBird. To enter the challenge, email your name, your eBird username, your experience level, and indicate that you've paid your $5 registration fee to the Kodiak Audubon store to kodiakaudubon@gmail.com. The contest began on January 1st, and it continues through December 31st. All participants must submit their bird list to eBird no later than January 6th, 2021, to be eligible. Providence Kodiak Medical Center is offering free birthing classes for expectant mothers at or before 20 weeks of pregnancy for you and your labor support team. This series of classes covers everything you need to know about labor, delivery, and caring for your newborn. The full cycle runs for 8 weeks and are held every Wednesday evening starting at 5:30 p.m. No registration is required. You can start at any time, and you can make up a class if you missed one by catching the next cycle of classes. Find the weekly schedule on the Providence website or call 907-486-9569. That's Wednesdays from 5:30 to 7 in the Kodiak Island Medical Center Pyramid Room. You can stop by admitting to ask for directions. As the weather is warming up, Kodiak Public Works Department still is reminding the public to keep water running from your faucet to prevent pipes from freezing. Even if the weather fluctuates to get warm, the ground will stay frozen for an extended period of time, so pipes will continue to freeze. If you have any questions, you can call Public Works at 486-8060 or visit the city's online winter information guide. And that's all I have for you for today.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the midday report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.